to all the members of the business community here today, of government and, of course, academia, to the members of CEDA. I don't believe any of my parliamentary colleagues are with me, but just in case they are, to my parliamentary colleagues and to the media who are with us. I'll make sure I don't switch that microphone off. What I've intended to do, just to cause David some difficulty, is that I've suggested that I speak. I know this will be massively unpopular, but I've suggested I speak for a shorter amount of time. I know that will distress you, but open myself up more to questioning after the main course to give you an opportunity to put to me your wisdom and outstanding, brilliant knowledge that you have that you'd like to share with me, and or to ask me questions and get stuck into me, which I think is probably more to the point. I know Peter Vaughan's going to ask me a question about work cover and payroll tax, so I've already got my answer ready on that one. But I think it's better that we have an interactive time here so that I can try and address some of the concerns. But I don't want to be, and I won't be, at this point at least, overly political. But I want to just briefly talk about where I see South Australia positioned at present and where I think the risks and the challenges lie ahead for us. I understand Saul Eastlake was here earlier giving as you would expect from an eminent economist, a very detailed and thorough opinion and analysis of where he sees the economy in this state and the nation heading. My guess is it was a bit of good, a bit of bad, a bit of negativity and a little bit of hope. The reality is that I've learned through my five budgets now moving into my six budgets, is that it's almost impossible to predict the economy. All the best predictions can only ever be the best guesses we can take. And the rapidly changing nature, even though we think and we are in an exceptionally good economic period right now, there is volatility out there, and there are quick changes that occur, or rapid changes that occur, that affect my job in trying to balance the state books. The way we approach budgeting in South Australia, and hence the economy, is the primary target is balancing the budget, and then everything after that is secondary. Now, people have some disagreements with me on that. When I say balancing the budget, that is to make sure that we're not spending more in a recurrent sense than what we're earning. But we have increased capital expenditure in our last few budgets and forecasted going forward. And it's a very important statistic, is that capital expenditure by the state will exceed depreciation by 36% over the next 4 years as we significantly increase the state's infrastructure base. And sort of jumping around a little bit here, but governments of all persuasions for decades in this state have underinvested in infrastructure. And I think that's plainly obvious to all of us. And we're trying to pick that up as quick as we can. But it's fair and fine to borrow money to provide infrastructure, but it's important that we deliver on a balanced budget in terms of our salaries of all of our staff. Now, the reason I say that is that the biggest challenge that we face in the state government is managing cost pressures, is managing the demand side of government services. And nowhere else is it more significant than health and ageing. And I think my view is, and this will happen over time, over the next two, three decades, but the ability for state governments nationwide to manage the ageing of our population is the single most critical social and indeed economic and financial pressure facing all of our governments. And I think that will actually drive a fundamental change in Commonwealth-state relations in decades to come, because it will reach a point that it is not within the capacity of state governments to continually deliver the expected outcomes we demand and deserve in health and in ageing. It'll just be beyond our capacity, and that's not this state talking, it's the nation generally. So where we sit with the economy now, we have a good economic foundation, but we are under incredibly acute pressure to maintain the level of services that the community expect. As well as that, we have, quite rightly, pressures from us from the business community in terms of keeping our economic base as competitive as we can. Meeting those two challenges is quite a significant difficulty for this government, for any government. And I think we can, and I think we will, but it does provide significant challenges. And I think what we need to think about as a society is that we have to fundamentally change how we view what state governments or what the role of state governments are and what the role of the national government is. State governments now essentially are the provider of the services that we as communities want. National governments are the major policy setters of our nation. We're no longer state governments that can do and deliver and intervene economically and socially to the extent that we have in the past. There is a fundamental shift underway between state and national governments that I think over the next 10 to 20 years will significantly change governments in this nation. We're not going to get rid of states. That's constitutionally impossible. Running a no case on that one, if anyone ever tried it, would be the easiest thing you could ever do. But economic and social pressures will change the way this nation is governed. And we're seeing that to a serious extent with the current water crisis, the drought. Now, Mike Rann was criticised by many for his position in holding out against the Prime Minister in terms of how we approach the management of the Murray-Darling Basin crisis. Now, what we've discovered, and this is not meant as a political point, but it's an important point, is there's no question that the Prime Minister made his decision to announce that $10 billion on the run. It's not been to Cabinet, it's not been properly costed, and the proposals haven't been properly worked out at a national level, least of all at a state level. So I think point one is that when politicians do things in haste, Labor, Liberal, state or national, you know, we should all be a little concerned. But importantly for our state is that any body or entity that runs the Murray-Darling Basin Commission that is made up of politicians, instead of being state politicians, we now make it national politicians, that should bother us, should worry us greatly in South Australia, because we're the smaller state that relies the most on the river, we're at the end of the river, and our interests are vitally important. And what the Premier has been pushing for, and I think will succeed in, is ensuring that the new entity meets the objectives of what the Prime Minister has put forward, which are sound objectives, but done in such a way that we have a significant infusion of independent decision makers on that body that will make decisions in the best interests of the of all of the stakeholders and be less susceptible to the political and this is Labor, Liberal, National, whoever, be less susceptible to the politics of water than we've ever seen in the past, even under the current system. That's an important outcome. But the reason I say that this is a moment of significance is that, again, I think you're seeing a fundamental change and shift in responsibilities and who should do what at a national or state level. And I just think over time we're going to see more and more of that type of thing roll out. John Hurd was just making the point about education, about national curriculum. Eminently sensible policy position that we should have more uniformity amongst our learning centres, absolutely. We're undertaking some significant work now, Minister Maywald, Carlene Maywald's doing it, on compliance issues. And we're going to roll out, I think, a very exciting agenda where, as a state, we will start to challenge the nation to do away with a lot of the restrictive regulatory mess that we have in our nation, where there is so much overlap and so much contradiction between the state jurisdictions. There's a lot of pressure on us as governments now to make ourselves more efficient, and one of the obvious ways you make yourself more efficient is you harmonise yourself with the rest of the nation. Dean talked about the shared services program the government's currently got underway. I've just attended a long meeting on that this morning. I mean, our state government is fundamentally revolutionising how we deliver corporate services, back office functions to government. Yes, we're taking the lead from the private sector. So wherever we look, there is a strong drive on efficiencies. And again, I think John Hurd mentioned that one of the comments today was that we've got poor productivity in South Australia. And that may well be correct. So there's an onus on all of us, and I believe at a government level, to ensure that we drive productivity as hard as we possibly can while still meeting the objectives that we have. Now, this is a fairly sort of about a boring contribution that I'm giving this morning, but I'm just trying to express perhaps where some of the questioning could lead, is that I think at a state level, the great challenges confronting us, as well as the issues of ageing, is how we continue to reform and make efficient the delivery of government services. Because I know one thing, the pressures on us in terms of health and ageing are only going to increase well ahead of inflation. I know that Peter Vaughan's not going to want to pay more payroll tax, and the community doesn't want to pay more taxes, and they're not going to pay more taxes. But ultimately, the big window of improvement for us is efficiency gain in the way we deliver public services, and I make no apology about that. We have a responsibility as a state government to ensure that we utilise the tax dollars that we have in the most efficient way that we possibly can. So over the next 2 years, our budgeting and our government will be focusing very, very heavily on driving productivity reform within the state public service. I'll finish on this point, have some lunch, and then we can come back to some questioning. But in terms of the economic opportunities in this state, they are significant. We do have, for the first time, significant net migrant inflow into South Australia. To a large extent, that is the result of an outstanding policy from the federal government that we get regional status here for our state in terms of immigrants coming into South Australia. There are some whispers out there that some of the other states are bellyaching about that and may want to take that away from us, and we will be ensuring that we do all we can to make sure the Commonwealth continues to give us that opportunity to maximise migrant inflow into South Australia. But yes, we do have a significant mineral opportunity going forward. You've all heard about Roxby Downs. I'm not going to recite chapter and verse all of the mining opportunities, but there is significant demand opportunity there for us. The defence sector, the electronics sector, obviously will be a significant and growing contributor. In the manufacturing sector, will still continue to be the major underpinning of our industrialised base in this state. Automotive is going through some difficult periods, but it will survive and it will grow. So we do have a very, very exciting opportunity for us here in this state. But the overriding fact is that it is always going to be harder in South Australia. That's the legacy of our forefathers. It's going to be harder in South Australia. It's always going to be a bit more difficult than every other state for geographical reasons, for historical reasons, for previous industrial policies that created the type of economy we have here in this state, not to mention, of course, the effects of drought, etc. It's always going to be hard in South Australia, but as South Australians, we've shown a unique ability, particularly in the last decade or so, to rise above adversity economically and seriously punch above our weight and ensure that we are a growing, sophisticated economy. And I think, be it a Labor government or a Liberal government, we are all committed to ensuring that we deliver jobs and economic growth for our state. Thank you very much for listening to that contribution. I look forward to some questions after lunch. Thank you.